Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful this great Monday morning. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the concept of praying for the faithfully departed. We will talk about the similarities between the Christian belief of a soul and the yoga belief of Atman. Swami will explain that we are complex beings, and in Kriya Yoga we use a three-body system, physical, astral-mental, and causal spiritual bodies. So what happens to us when we transition? Listen in to get some different ways of keeping up relations with those who have left the earthly plane. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and align with the part of yourself that is eternal. So Swami, what I thought I would do is just give a little brief history on what All Souls Day, how that came about. And I guess it came about in Christianity, and it's a day to commemorate the faithful departed, particularly but not exclusive to our own relatives. The annual celebration is now held on the 2nd of November, and it's actually associated with All Saints Day. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I guess we should probably start by asking you, first of all, what is a soul?
Yeah, the soul concept, I really like what Kriyananda used to say, is he called the soul your memory track. That it is that part of us that actually contains, you know, the karmic pattern that we carry with us through these different incarnations. And so the concept of the soul, I think, is a really important part in trying to understand ourselves and understanding how creation is taking place, and this whole concept of a cycle of death and rebirth kind of perpetuates itself, continues. And so a lot of the terms that we use oftentimes, like even say, for example, praying for the faithfully departed, that to me is like, well, what does that mean? Faithfully departed. You know, I mean, I think of myself sometimes, and being a steam fitter, you know, we have terms in our union that if you are a steam fitter in good standings, you know, you've paid your dues, you don't owe anybody any money, and you're ready, willing, and able to go to work. So I think sometimes we think in terms of our spiritual understanding of things, we try and use that type of correlation. Mm-hmm. And in reality, the faithfully departed, what that really means are those souls that depart that are in total harmony with spirit. The whole thing of like what we talk about here, that yoga is union of the individual with the divine. And if you are successful in making this union, if you're successful in making this conversion while you are in the body, then your transition is a very different thing than if you are still attached to the lower realms, particles or waves. And so a big part of celebrating, you know, these souls that have actually crossed the threshold, Because that's one of the things that we really kind of talk about is that real enlightenment doesn't happen until every sentient being crosses the threshold. It's not like hooray for me and too bad for everybody else. We're all connected. And this concept of the soul is what attaches us to this greater sense of spirit. And to be able to make that transition successfully helps everybody else.
So when we say or do, like, mourn for a loved one, do you think that we're basically just mourning for ourselves, for the loss of that loved one, and not necessarily for the departed?
Well, again, a lot of it's going to have to do with, you know, what their standings were. You know, because if somebody did something that would perpetuate the cycle of death and rebirth, then, of course, you know that they're coming back and they're going to have karmic challenges. And so to have a sense of compassion for that, I think is really appropriate. But also, I mean, the concept of to mourn the loss of somebody that was faithfully departed seems somewhat, you know, missing the point. And then, like you say, I mean, then, of course, all we are is just feeling kind of deprived of our ability to maybe continue that relationship on the physical plane. But that's something that I also think that we learn as we start to become more spiritual by nature, is that you can continue these relationships on the astral plane.
I was just going to ask you about that, because I remember when Kriyananda had passed, you'd received a message for that, and it was all about the celebration of his transition. And I understand that we can still have some kind of a relationship with somebody who has departed, but how do we go about doing that, those of us who, you know, are still learning and, you know, are on our paths in the yoga? How do we do that?
Well, I personally think the best way that you can help anybody is by helping yourself, by putting your efforts in making your connection so that you are faithfully attached to the life force, so that when you transition, that you will actually elevate the collective consciousness, as opposed to if you are still attached to the lower realms, it has a tendency to bring everything else down.
I just reminded myself of a movie that I had seen, and in this movie, I believe it was a grandparent was speaking to a child, and the grandparent had said, you know, every time you think of your grandmother, because this is the person who had transitioned, you know, you will make her alive in heaven. So every time you have thoughts about her, so, you know, it's okay to think about, you know, your times with her and things like that. And but just know every time you think about her, it brings her alive, it animates her in heaven. What do you think about that concept?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly like what we talk about here, that thought is energy and it's capable of producing effects. So anytime, you know, like you think of anyone, whether they're in the physical body or they're in the Bardo plane or wherever it might be, that it kind of sends energy in that direction. So yeah, I think I agree with that 100%. In fact, that's what I think a lot of praying that we do, you know, should have these types of intentions to them to try and assist people when they are on the other side.
Now, do you say that because to have a thought is one thing because it is energy, but then to emit it with intention gives it more power. Is that why you say that?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we say. That thought is energy capable of producing effects, but it's all measured based on the amount of strength we emit them with. So the more conviction you have, the more belief you have in what you're putting out, then of course the more effect that it will have.
So now I have to ask you, because I'm sure a lot of listeners out there are curious about, if everything is energy and all the thoughts that we do is energy, how do we explain practices like seances and things like that?
Well, again, how do you explain a dream, for that matter? You know, there's a lot of things that are happening, or a vision. Now, one of the things that we find is that as we start to unbox this mystery of life, you start to see that it's nothing more than a simple mind game. That basically all we ever experience are our own thought forms. Now, whether we are experiencing them on a conscious level or an unconscious level is all determined by what we talk about, you know, my level of consciousness, my degree of awareness. But in reality, I mean, all we're ever experiencing is our own thought form. Mm-hmm. And we explain this a lot in the courses that we teach based on simple understanding of, say, for example, one of the analogies that we use in theory one is being awake, being asleep, being alive, and being dead, there's no difference. That's a huge statement that you might want to contemplate for some time. But then what we do is we start to pull that apart a little bit, and we say, well, we don't know what it's like to be dead, but we know it's like to be awake, and we know it's like to be asleep. So then what you look at is you look at your sleep state. You look at the dream state. You're lying in bed. You're sound asleep. You're having a dream. Mm-hmm. Now, in your mind's eye, you experience the dream as if it's something that's happening to you. When in reality, you're lying in bed. You're sound asleep. You're everything in that dream. But you're looking through this tiny little keyhole, and you see yourself as a separate entity. Now, the term in Kriya Yoga is called Aham Brahmasmi. I am the creative principle. I'm everything in that dream. Now, what we do is once you get a grasp of that, then, of course, you turn it around and you look at the waking state is identical. So we go through life and we experience life as if it's something that's happening to us. And we see ourselves as separate entity. But in reality, we're not identifying with this cosmic dreamer, this complex thought form that we call reality. And so no matter whatever it is that you're looking at, you know, we're creating it.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. If we're everything in our dream state, then we can certainly be everything in our waking state as well. Like what you say, what we put out is what we get back. So we can apply that same concept to all of our states of being. Is that a right assumption?
Yeah. I mean, but it's a whole lot easier said than done. You know, because again, in order to be able to expand consciousness beyond the limits of just seeing yourself as separate, you're going to need this thing they call the conversion. You're going to have to separate from your attachment to the forces that are keeping you in a limited perspective and reconnect to something that will expand the mind beyond the limits. And again, that's the physics of spirituality that we teach.
All right, well, great. Well, I think we want to pause for just a moment, and we're going to hold that thought. And listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments. If you have any questions for Swami, then I'll open up the phone lines at that time. So we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things
together. Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303
or www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste.
Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, I'm going to open up the phone line, so if anybody has a question for Swami, you can shout it out at this time. All right, so Swami, let's close down those phone lines. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question. In our description, we had asked the question, so what happens to us when we transition?
Yeah, probably the best explanation I've ever seen for that I found in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, translated by Evans Wentz. And again, basically like I had said earlier, I mean, we're experiencing our own thought forms, but when we first transition, we're kind of dropped off in the basement floor of the spirit plane. And everything really, according to the Tibetan Book of the Dead, will be determined by how buoyant we are. So in other words, kind of like what it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that If we don't connect to spirit while we're in the physical body, our chances are increased when we transition, but still relatively slim to none. So in other words, like if you do not resonate to the vibration or the frequency of this very subtle, invisible, intangible resource, you will be what they call denser. Which means that then you'll start to drop. So you'll stay in the spirit plane for a short period of time, and then you'll fall into what's called the astral plane. They call it the Bardo plane in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. But in that dimension is when, you know, that's where you meet your peaceful deities and your wrathful deities, kind of a thing, depending, again, how far you start to sink until eventually you get closer to the physical plane, and then that's when we start to crave existence. And then, of course, you know, you find yourself back in a body.
So then we really have to learn where we are right now to try to transcend the physical needs of our bodies and really concentrate and focus our efforts on, you know, like you said, the mental astral plane and so on. So by doing that, would that assist us in making us more buoyant?
Well, what makes you more buoyant is when you basically desire nothing. Is what does it. It's not magic, it's all physics. It's when you rebirth your body in the life force. When all of a sudden now something that's invisible and intangible is now your source of sustenance. And then, of course, you become something different. You know, it's one of the things we always say, that humans in the adult state, you know, are virtuous by nature, opposed to, you know, those of us that are still drawing from duality and are trying to perform conduct in order to maybe get credit for our efforts. It's a whole different dynamic. Kind of, you know, like being the steam fitter in good standing, as opposed to the faithfully departed, if that helps.
You know, I think it does. And I was going to say, and then you had beat me to it, so it really isn't about our conduct in this plane. And even if we do depart and we find ourselves in that realm, and it's not like we can say, okay, let me go back and I'll try to do good, you know. So it's not this contract that we make, but is it a conscious decision to come back into the earthly plane to say, to do good, to try to elevate the consciousness of the world?
Well, I think it is for those that have achieved, you know, this degree of faithfully departed. It's in Buddhism, they have the concept of what's called the Bodhisattva, who is the enlightened individual who chooses to reincarnate simply because, you know, just like we had said earlier, true enlightenment doesn't happen until every sentient being crosses the threshold. So they come back to try and elevate the collective consciousness, so that, you know, it just makes it easier for everybody else. That's probably one of the biggest barriers today to spirituality is that there's so much garbage that's out there that people think that they're spiritual and totally sincere and you know, nothing deceptive about it. But they're just drawing from the wrong energy field. It's the von Goethe. You know, none are more hopelessly imprisoned than those who falsely believe that they're free, kind of a thing. Or I remember, you know, the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
So I guess that leads me to the questions that I always seem to ask in the radio show. So what is it, you know, that we should do? How do we prepare ourselves, you know, for this transition? You said that we have to have this connection. So how should we go about doing that? Do we do that by trying to find the joy in everything that we do every day and realize that you're looking at another person and what animates you is animating me? I mean, what are some of the things that we can do to get ourselves on that road?
Well, again, that's why Kriya Yoga is a path of action. It's a path of knowledge. It's a path of devotion. You know, I mean, it's everybody tries to shortcut everything and say all you have to do is awaken. Mm-hmm. And well, it's not quite that easy. And part of it is you have to understand that you're a complex being. Reality is multidimensional. And to be able to literally rebirth your body in something that's invisible and intangible is going to require practice. Your practice is going to be action, knowledge, and devotion. You have to know the difference between something that is visible and tangible, something that is invisible and tangible, and something that is invisible and intangible. And then to be able to attach yourself to something that is invisible and intangible so that your body internalizes it as the symbol that it uses for what we call validation. And then, of course, when we do that, matter and mind come together with new information. That's what starts this progressive cycle. And then, of course, you know, when your mind starts to open, your identity starts to transcend the limits of just seeing yourself as a separate entity. The statement being awake, being asleep, being alive, and being dead has all new meaning to you. Because after a while, you start to align yourself with this part of yourself that is eternal. It always was, it always will be. It's unchanging. So that at that point, when you do find yourself outside of your body, it won't be that unfamiliar. You know, it'll be more like a lucid dream than somebody who fell asleep and had a dream, kind of a thing.
So in essence, we really don't have anything to fear but fear itself. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people struggle with when it comes to that point about transitioning, because some reason we view that as a horrific experience, when actually it's just because it is kind of like the fear of the unknown. So to nothing to fear but fear itself, I think, is comes into play here. What do you think?
Well, then again, and too, it's also the physics. I mean, you can't draw from duality, which is fear and limitation, and expect to become truth and wholeness. Mm-hmm. So that's the like attracts like. And if your identity is all bound up in your physical body, then, of course, you have a tremendous amount of fear of the expiration of this physical body. But if you have separated from your attachment to duality and joined with truth and wholeness, and your identity now starts to expand beyond the limits of your body, then, of course, you're not senselessly optimistic. You're not irresponsible. You know, your body is your temple. Mm-hmm. You don't abuse your body. It now houses the spirit, something that's pure, powerful, and sacred. It's a whole different dynamic.
Wow, that was a great explanation. Thank you for that. So we really have to just realize that we are just so much more than our physical bodies. And then we're just going to move from there. And unfortunately, it is that time to start closing down our program. So listeners, I would like to invite you to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, of course. And also available to you are the online classes you can access through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Just click on the link for the online class. It will direct you to PowHow, and from there you can select the classes of your choice. But do keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And next week, we're going to hold off on our show next week because we'll be busy next week. We won't be around. So as there looks like there's marriage plans in the future for next week. But we will be back the week after that, and I believe we're going to talk about the new moon along with Veterans Day. So, Swami, any other words of wisdom you have for us today?
No, I just keep mindful that you do have a soul, you do have a memory track, and be very mindful of what you're putting out is being held and recorded. So, and with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And then thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.